Thank you, Jesus. There we go. Does anybody remember when Brother Fred, those of you that knew the man, when he would say, "Can you hear me in the balcony?" Well, you know, every time he'd say it a lot, it's hard to forget it. You know, and I just pray that one day the Lord will give us a balcony. And I believe he will. Matter of fact, we're going to start building it next week. It's going to be low, but God is an awesome God. God has a good plan for this church. So y'all focus on that, and I'll be back in a little bit. Talk amongst yourselves. You'd do that anyways if I didn't tell you to. Talk amongst yourselves, that is. Now I'm playing. Oh, man, I'm excited. Turn to James. Time to get serious. Probably not, but we're going to talk about something serious. James chapter 2, and we're going to be starting at verse 8. Excuse me. Father God, we just love and we praise your holy name, Lord God. You are worthy of our praise. You are everything, Lord God. Thank you for your anointing presence, your anointing on myself this morning, and your strength, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you uphold the weary, Lord God, and that your will would be done in this service, that not one single person will leave here the same way they came in, but we're going to leave refreshed and encouraged and excited, on fire for you. Thank you, Father God, that you're touching people this morning, that there's physical healings going forth, that there's breakthroughs in the barrier and the battlefield of the mind. Lord Jesus, and I do rebuke that foul, foul demon of anxiety, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that wickedness has no place on your children, Lord God. That we will focus on you. And we know that you still do miracles to this day, Lord Jesus. So we just ask and we request and we anticipate that there will be healings throughout this service in every area of our life, Lord God. And let us give you the praise and the glory you deserve as we live our lives. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So let's see, week 5 in our study in James. Last week we were talking about partiality, favoritism. There's no place for that in the church. You guys remember that? Wherever we go, whatever we do, we don't pick favorites. Somebody walks into this door, we want to give them the love of Jesus. We want everybody to feel welcome. We want everyone to feel that, hey, when I came and I visited Victory Life Church, one thing I can say about those people is that they love the Lord and they love each other. And they don't play favorites. Wouldn't that be a good testimony for us to have in the community? Amen. Thank you, Father God. Yeah. And we can do that. All we got to do is hunger and thirst for righteousness. All we got to do is put Jesus first. You know what I mean? And he will give me the strength. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit indwells me. And if I want to live a Christ-pleasing life, he will give me the strength to do that. And it needs to be said, but we already know this, that we're all going to make mistakes. We're never going to be perfect. We accept a perfect gift, right? But increasingly so, I should live a Christ-pleasing life. Amen? You know what I mean? I'm so thankful. I'm so in love with the Lord that I want to be that person, that individual that he's called me to do. Can I get a witness this morning? So favoritism, that's a big no-no. That's a sin. That's what James is talking about. We've been talking about this for a while now in the book of James, how we talk to people, how we treat people. That is so important to the Lord, and it's so important to our witness. Amen? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, what's the royal law? Think about it. Royal, that's given down from the king. Amen? Okay, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. So James says, if you want to watch it, if you want to check yourself, you want to see if you're being partial to people, if you're picking favorites, well, focus on this little verse right here that comes straight out of the Levitical law, and Jesus put special emphasis himself on it in the Gospels. We are to love our neighbors as ourself. Amen? And so we can look at that, right, as like a quick little test. You know what I mean? Am I treating each and every person like I want to be treated? Am I genuinely concerned about my brothers and sisters in Christ? Can I get a witness? And you know what? If we do that, that's going to be very convicting. Amen? So that's what James is saying. You know, the whole story, the whole deal, the whole ball of wax was they had had some situations in the early churches to where they were showing partiality. They were showing favoritism. Some rich folks would come in, and they would give them special honor, and they would do lots of things to please them, men of means, men of finances and stuff like that. And then some people that would come in of maybe a lower social standing, somebody with not a lot of money, and they wouldn't honor them. They'd ask them to go sit in the back or sit at their feet. And James is like, no, that's great wickedness. Okay, the Lord God doesn't play favorites. Amen. So you as his children, we are not to play favorites as well. Amen. So we want to honor our brothers and sisters like ourselves. Amen. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, here it is, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you're doing that, you're doing just fine. Amen. James is reminding him, hey, that poor man, he is your brother, just like that rich man. Amen? Are y'all with me? And it's not a problem to be nice to the rich fella. We're not supposed to be rude or mean to that rich person. Amen? But that wasn't the deal. You know what I mean? You still want to be nice to that guy. You want to be nice and loving to everybody. You know what I mean? But don't neglect the poor guy. And you know what? As I look in this church, I don't think that we have a huge problem with that. But thank you, Jesus, that'll never be the case, right? That everybody that walks in this door will feel welcome, that will feel loved. Amen? Verse 9, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin. Did you hear that? Think about that. Think about that for a minute. Partiality, favoritism, that is sin. That is wicked in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but when you read that and you really, really let it hit you, that's very convicting to me because I know that I have been guilty of that in the past. You know what I mean? Sometimes I won't give somebody the attention that I know they deserve. You know what I mean? Especially some little child or something like that. And you know what? Those are our brothers and sisters in Christ too. Amen. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but we need to understand this, that the Lord takes this very serious. This is like grumbling. This is like complaining. This is like slander. This is like unforgiveness. The Lord says, don't do this nonsense. People want to feel love. People deserve to feel love. They can go be rejected out in the world. Amen? They don't have to come in here to feel like nobody cares about them. Amen? Does that make sense, guys? But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. Ouch. All God's people said, ouch. See, that's something that, let's be honest, partiality, favoritism, often can slip right underneath our little spiritual radar. You know what I mean? When there can be people hurting in here, people that are so lonely in here, amen? And see, the Lord wants us to be a family. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we have to go round about and talk to each and every person every Sunday and every Wednesday. But you know what? We should be there for our brother and sister. We should love them like we love ourselves. I'm concerned about what they're going through. I'm going to do what I can to help them get through whatever they're going through. And at the end of the day, they are going to know that they are loved because that's what Christians do. Amen? Raise your hands if you are getting something out of this. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 3 and verse 28. There it is on your monitor. Oh, you know something? You'll know something cool? This is my new favorite thing. On the back of the bulletins, maybe you've seen it. Maybe you have not. But it's got like the sermon outline and a little place for notes. I don't even have to make notes anymore. I can just read off of this. Because, yeah. Never mind. God is good, right? It's a thought. Nobody ever said I was the smartest preacher in town. Amen. The Lord does the foolish things, right? Okay, preach it. Galatians 3 and verse 28. And all God's people said, preach it. Galatians 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. See, James is talking to Jewish Christians. That first wave of Jewish Christians, basically. Right? And if you were a Hebrew, there was two types of people in your world. You were either a Jew, which means you were special, right? Or you were a Greek. You were a Gentile. You were a dog. You know what I mean? But see, James is saying, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, in the church, nobody should feel like over here is the special fancy boys, and over here are the dogs, are the rejected, are the no goodies. You know what I mean? There's none of that in here. That's not how this whole thing works. That's the world's economy. Amen. We are Christians, man. We all belong to the Most High God. We are all special. Well, I don't have anything in common with Rick McClary. I don't want to talk to Rick McClary. Well, get in line. No, I'm playing. No. Hey, Rick can handle that. Rick is a tough guy. He can handle that. Okay, but yeah, that's rubbish. Okay, and we all have different personalities. Okay, I understand some of us are shy, but it's really not. I'm really not talking about make sure you talk to everybody. I'm talking about letting people know that, hey, I care about you. I will be here for you. I will do anything I can for you. You are my brother. Amen. We've been grafted into the family. We're in this together. Amen. So y'all with me this morning? It's not about making sure you say hello and good morning to everybody. Now, keep in mind that might offend somebody if you don't get to them. But guess what? That's on them. That's not on you. Amen. We just want to make sure that I am devoted, not just to my church family, because it says my neighbor. Amen. It says, so the person across the street, yeah, him too. Everybody in your world, everybody in your sphere. We are to have a Christ-like love and affection and burden for them. Amen? Are y'all with me? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. See, that was another big divider too. And that was what was going on in the early church too. You know what I mean? We have the free men in the Jewish community, in the Jewish church. You had some slaves that were there and you had some free people there. Amen? Okay, so that's what they're saying. We are all the same. We all belong. We all have the same daddy. Amen. We all in the same family. Amen. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. But you know, we're to be slaves to the Lord Jesus. Did you know that? Not because he makes us. Because we love him. We are subordinate to him. Does that make sense? By our own will. Amen. We are subordinate to him. Can I get a witness? Slave nor free, there is no male and female. See, that's church stuff right there. You couldn't find that in the pagan world. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, this ain't me. This ain't Paul talking right here. Okay, but I'm talking about old school, Old Testament stuff. Women were kind of treated like second-class citizens. Okay, that's not me. Okay, don't get mad at me. I'm not saying that. But when you come into this place, and I'm not just talking about VLC, but certainly this should be how it works in VLC. You know what I mean? But as Christians, we are equal. Now we're different as male is from female, but we are equal. Amen. Does that make sense? God is good, right? So the good Lord doesn't play favorites, so why in the world are we? Because I broke honest with you guys and said I do it sometimes. You know, we all do it sometimes. But see, the beautiful thing is that when a thief is caught, when we realize that we've been doing something that ain't right, because like I said, this kind of stuff right here kind of slips under our radar sometimes. You know what I mean? But when that thief's caught, when we see it, we call it what it is and we repent. You know? Oh, I'm certainly guilty of this. I repent. I turn from it. And then you know what? It's thrown away. You know, God's people went. Not a single person did the hand thing. Except Dina. Well, I don't come to church to do the hand thing. I know, but it helps me. It gets me involved. It makes me excited, Brother Donnie. And let's be honest, it kind of helps us pay attention, right? Pretty much, Dina, pretty much. James 2 and verse 10. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Okay, so look. If I'm running late to church, and y'all can laugh a little bit. If I'm running late to church on a Sunday morning, okay, because y'all wouldn't know if I'm late on Wednesdays because y'all ain't, no, I'm playing. Nah, God is good, right? Anyways, and I don't have to apologize because we're family. You know I don't mean no harm, right? Or do I? I've been told I've, never mind. Okay. What are we talking about? What's going on today? Yeah. I'm sorry about that, by the way. There's no excuse. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. This is what we're talking about. I'm running late to church, right? And I run through all the stop signs. I run through all the red lights. I'm like, no, I cannot face Larry Berry again because he remembers when Dad used to preach and Dad wanted to start 5 minutes early. And, you know, I'm just driving and half of my wheels are on the sidewalk, you know, going down Willing Street. And when you get to the Methodist church and they're getting out because this happens to me every Sunday. They're getting out when I'm running late and they're crossing the road. And you can tell that preacher preaches about the Sabbath day of rest at that church because they ain't in no hurry, no way, shape, or form. I'm done with church. And they're walking and having a good time. And I mean, and you're like, you know, When anxiety was great within me, you know. So anyways, you know, I'm running them people off the road. The old ladies look like stunt doubles, and they're just jumping everywhere. Like, what am I? I'm a lawbreaker, right? I broke a law. If I break a law, I'm a lawbreaker. Whether it's the law of Moses, which Jesus fulfilled for me, or if it's the teachings of the New Testament, if I break one of the Lord's teachings, then I'm a lawbreaker. I'm breaking what Jesus Christ expects me to do. Amen? And that's a no-no. And I've already told you, we all fall short. We all do this. But as Christians, as someone that's been saved, amen, I need to set my sights on being that holy person. Being that set-aside person that is going to live up Christ-pleasing, God-honoring life. Amen? From axe murder to, I mean, that's not good. We don't do that. You know what I mean? I'm saying that's probably easier for about 85% of the congregation here to say, oh, well, that's not going to happen to me this week. You know what I mean? I'm not going down that road. You know, from axe murder to slander to unforgiveness to playing favorites. You know what I mean? The Lord doesn't want us to do that. Amen. Think of the countless people throughout countless churches, throughout the generations, who have walked into a place where they should have felt love, but they didn't fit the template that somebody set up for them. They felt so uncomfortable, and they left. Maybe they try a few more out before they say, you know what? This Christianity thing is not my ball of wax, because the stuff I heard about Jesus and the stuff my grandma read to me about Jesus, I do not see those people living that out. And I don't want to be a part of that because I'm hurting inside. You know what I mean? And I want a family, because I don't know what family feels like. And somebody said, you get involved in a church and you will have support and you will have a family. Well, you know what? I guess I'm just broken. I guess I'm no good, because I can't find that. Think about that. How about them apples? May it never be so. You know what I'm saying? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? May it never be so. I don't even know where it came from. I heard it, sounded good, I guess. I don't know. May it never be so. But it's true, right? Okay, what are we doing, Josh? For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Verse 11, for he who said, do not commit adultery. This is cool right here. James is like, you know how silly you sound? You understand that, right? You know how silly it sounds that you're saying you're loving your neighbor as yourself, when you are crying and shaking and jumping on the back of the rich man, you know, and you can't believe it. You got a rich guy in church. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, yeah, we need one of you. Do you have any more like you? Amen. Because, I mean, the rich folks had the means, had the authority in this culture, amen, and the Jewish Christians, it would have been really good if they could have got a lot of rich folks to hang out, you know what I mean? But they forgot the big picture, man. The Lord's going to bring into the house whoever he wants in the house, amen? We just don't reject, the poor person, amen? Y'all with me? Okay. So anyways, James is like, that sounds ridiculous, man. You're loving your neighbor as yourself. No, you're not. You're playing favorites, and that's a sin. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do commit adultery, listen, if you do commit adultery, but do murder. Did I read that right? I'm going to read it off of here. Maybe I got a little sidetracked. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor. Transgressor, not frandresser. You have become a transgressor of the law. James is like, you see how this is how ridiculous you sound. It's like saying, hey, I'm not committing adultery when you got a bloody hatchet in the back seat of your car because you killed somebody. Raise your hand if that's ever happened. Nothing. They don't feel good about yourself, man. You know what I mean? Stop straddling the fence, okay? This is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gives us the template we are to follow. Amen. When he came into town, he was available and showed love to everybody. Well, not the Pharisees. Yeah, he did. The Pharisees just didn't show him no love. He met with the Pharisee at night. He went to the Pharisee's house to eat. He was there for them. The Pharisees were the ones that rejected him. Like I said, we can't help what people decide, what kind of hypothesis or decision they make about you or this church or any Christian. But you know what? It needs to be where they have to make something up about us. That's what it should be like. If you want to condemn us as Christians, you better make something up about us, because we want to follow what this book says. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. Is that uncomfortable for you guys, the silence? Because I got to be honest with you. I start sweating it a little bit. I'm like, it's too quiet. And they're going to get uncomfortable. And then I'm going to get uncomfortable. And then they're going to start talking and balancing their checkbooks. And anyways, it's all good. Silence is golden, man. Whatever that means. I don't know. All right. Any old hoot and holler. Yeah. Is that where we're at? Yeah, okay. Okay, so Paul, look, you know, You're talking about murder. You're talking about adultery. But I thought Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus did fulfill the law. Right? Y'all with me? Did y'all know that? Okay. Look, Romans 10 and verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law. He fulfilled the Old Testament law. You know what I mean? He did all that for us because they could never do it. And guess what? We could never do it either. Did you know that? So he was that perfect sacrifice. He fulfilled everything we could never even come close to. Amen. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That's us. We are declared righteous when we accept him. You know what I mean? He did the hard work. He did the heavy lifting. All we have to do is realize we're sinners and come to him, believe he is who he says he is, and by faith accept him. Guess what? We're saved folks. Isn't that good news? But you know what? Although we're not under the law of Moses, you know, there's still somebody in authority over us. Did you know that? Like I said earlier, we are to be slaves to the Lord. And that word doesn't sound good, but that's what he's looking for, someone that is that obedient, that puts the needs of the Lord, amen, and the Lord has needs. He has use of us. You know what I mean? Put those needs and the needs of others before our own. Amen? So there is a law that we follow, and that is the law of Christ. Did you guys know about this? The law of Christ, and this is it right here, Matthew 22 and verse 37. Now, what we have here is something really, really cool. You know, there's that thing called the Ten Commandments. Right, well, Jesus kind of amps them up a little bit, but he also simplifies them a little bit. What do you mean by amps them up a little bit? Well, if you notice on the last little part that we read, we were talking a little bit about how silly it was to say that we weren't being playing favorites, right? Or saying like, hey, I'm honoring my neighbor as myself. And Jesus is like, no, man, you're really playing favorites. You know what I mean? And then so James makes that comparison between adultery and murder. Y'all remember that? Well, see, the Old Testament would look at the outward appearance. Does that make sense? The law. Okay, thou shalt not kill. Y'all with me so far? But see, the New Testament tells me if I have hatred towards my brother, I'm guilty of murder. That's what I mean by Jesus turning it up a notch, Jesus amping it up a little bit. If you look at a woman with lust, you're guilty of adultery. So that's what I mean. Jesus turns it up a little bit. Okay, because Jesus looks at the heart. Jesus says, you need to look at your heart. Amen? Because maybe you won't physically murder somebody. But maybe you've allowed yourself to be comfortable with hating somebody. Amen? And Jesus says, that is great wickedness as well. Amen? Y'all with me so far? Okay, so anyways, we're under the law of Christ. And so basically we have the Ten Commandments, which nobody could keep, shrunken down into two commandments that we are expected to keep. Does that make sense? Matthew 22 and verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So that right there encompasses the first four of the Ten Commandments. Be devoted to the Lord. Love him with everything you are. And that wraps up the first four commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Don't have no idols and worship them. Don't say the Lord's name in vain. Don't be out misrepresenting the Lord. Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the first four right there. Love God with everything that you are. Amen? And then this other verse right here wraps up the last six of the Ten Commandments. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You know what it is? You know what it is? Without looking, do you know what it is? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the other six commandments. I'm not going to commit adultery if I love my neighbor as myself, my neighbor wife, my neighbor's wife. You know what I mean? Y'all with me so far? I'm not going to commit murder if I love my neighbor as myself. Are y'all with me? Is this making any sense right here? So this is what the Lord expects us to follow. We won't follow it perfectly. But thank you, Jesus, we're the most blessed people on the face of the earth because we're saved by grace, right? But like I'm always saying, increasingly so. Increasingly so. We want to be more and more obedient to this law that Jesus has given us. Love him and love our neighbor. Amen. It's kind of like what James was saying at the beginning of this morning's sermon. You think you're not playing favorites. Well, how are you doing with love your neighbor as yourself? Look at it through that lens and you'll see the truth, whether you are or whether you're not. Amen? Okay, so let's look at Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So there's that law of Christ thing again. And that's kind of another way of saying love your neighbor as yourself, isn't it? Bear each other's burdens. Because if I don't love you like I love myself, I'm not going to care about your burdens, man. I might play a good game. You know what I mean? I might act like I care about your burdens. But see, if I love you, I'm going to not only pray about your burdens, but as James is going to get into in the weeks ahead, I'm going to do what I can do about those burdens. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay, let's go to the next slide. James 2 and verse 12. So speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. So we're to act and speak like Christians. Christians are supposed to be bearing some fruit. Did you know that? And we're to act. We're to live a life. Let me explain it to you like this. We're to live a Christian life like we will face the Lord's judgment one day. And you say, well, I thought we were saved by grace and I will never have to be judged by the Lord. Well, here's the skinny on that. We will never, ever, ever know what one minuscule moment feels to be in hell's torment if we are Christian folks. That penalty has been paid for. You know what I'm saying? Everybody with me so far? But as Christians, we will be held accountable for what we did or didn't do. Okay? So when Jesus gives me some teachings on the Sermon of the Mount, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, and we're like, all God's people are, No, the Lord expects us to follow this stuff. It's that important to him. Therefore, it should be that important to us. And if I truly love the Lord, then in my heart, I will want to be that person. I will want to be there for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for my neighbor. Amen? Now, I know we get selfish sometimes. I dig it. Okay, but we beat that mess down with the Word of God, right? Okay, so we will be judged one day. I hope that's not news for you. I hope that I've touched on that in the past. I believe I have. But it's not a judgment as far as us being condemned like the world or the unbeliever. But we are going to have to, we're going to have to tell the Lord. You know what I mean? And man, I don't know about that one. You know what I mean? we are going to have to tell the Lord, hey, now, tell me again, Paul. Tell me again, how come you were playing favorites all the time in that church? When my word strictly says you don't do that. My own brother James, there's James over there, say out of James. You said don't do it, and here you are doing it. You know what I mean? Who wants to go through something like that? I don't know about you, but I want every single blessing that the Lord has for me, waiting for me on the other side. I don't want nothing held back. Amen. Y'all with me? Okay. Romans 14 and verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? That's not loving your neighbor as yourself, is it? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. See, this is the Apostle Paul putting himself in there, in the mix. Okay? So Christians, we will be judged. Amen? You with me? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, and we all know he lives, right? As I live, says the Lord, and he is faithful, he does not lie. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That's all of us, everybody. Verse 12, so then each of us, that's Paul saying, I'm right in there with you, I'm going to have my turn too, okay? And you can go first, by the way. If we get up, the last shall be first. And the first, you guys can go first. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So think about that. Let that be something that gets us excited, man. You know what I mean? Because we will face the Lord one day, and we'll have to answer to him, and there ain't no excuse going to hold water. Well, Jesus, here's the thing. I was going to start being impartial. I was going to start the whole forgiveness thing. I was going to stop judging other folks, man, and I was going to start having no favorites. That was on my to-do thing, and you know because I wrote it down. But I didn't know that the train was coming that day. I didn't know that. This is something that I was working on. And Preacher Paul was always saying, increasingly so. That's not going to hold water, and don't bring me into it if you get there before me. Don't bring me into it. I'm going to have my own business to deal with. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, let's wrap things up. Go to James 2. I mean, yeah, when you're in James 2, go to 2:13. Thank you, my brother. Everybody give Houston a round of applause. Excuse me. I am okay. Don't do the Heimlichs. James 2 in verse 13. Okay, do the Heimlichs. James 2 in verse 13. For judgment is without mercy. Listen, man. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Amen. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So, look, man, we can look at it this way. Christians are obedient to the Lord's teaching. If I am a Christian, meaning I love the Lord, right? I'm a new creation in Christ. I want to bear that type of fruit. Okay, I don't show mercy so I will be saved. Y'all with me now, kind of? I show mercy because I'm a saved person. Amen? So, if I am bearing Christ-pleasing fruit in my life, increasingly so, right? Not perfectly. That's what we're aiming for. That's what we're shooting for. And we're blessed with the Holy Spirit to equip us to be more obedient to those in the past. Matthew 3 and verse 8. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. If I'm a saved person, the proof is in the pudding. If I am a saved person, I'm going to bear good fruit. So in other words, I don't have to worry about being condemned in the Lord's judgment or in that day of judgment if I'm a Christian. Amen? If I'm bearing good fruit, I'm not going to have to sweat that. Make sense? I like the way Matthew 3, verse 8 says it in the NLT. The NLT is not my favorite translation, but I do like to read it from time to time. And I like to use it when I'm ministering to one-on-one people because it's really easy to understand. I wouldn't want to preach out of it, but anyways, I think you know how I feel about the NLT now. But Matthew 3 and verse 8, this is how the NLT says it. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. If I love the Lord, I am going to show mercy. Amen. Make sense? If I love the Lord, I'm going to bear that type of fruit. That's going to be a fruit that is evident in my life. For judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. So if I'm not showing mercy, if I'm not bearing good, godly fruit, then guess what? I might need to get right with the Lord. Amen? Y'all with me? You guys get anything out of that today? Father God, we love you and we praise you. You are everything to us. You are everything we need. Thank you, Father God, that we will not be a church that plays favorites. That we will not be individuals that play favorites, but we will have your heart for a lost and dying world. We will have your heart for our neighbor, Lord Jesus. We will love you with everything that we are. We will be committed to you with everything that we are. And we will be committed to our neighbor. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.